across the sky. Carry on, carry on, carry on. 'Cause he broke my heart and I hope to die. Carry on, oh my child, carry on. I had some dreams when my eyes were bright.
That's Karen Morand with Carry On, the title track from her 2012 CD. Windsor-based singer-songwriter Karen is our special guest in the Folk Roots radio studio today. How are we doing, Karen?
I'm great.
Great to have you join us. Karen has actually had a very busy weekend. She's just back from Pelee Island, where she was playing a long set, I think, on Friday evening.
Yes, I'm wearing it just a little bit. I think it'll make the blues sound really good.
But it was fun, though, wasn't it?
It was very fun. It's a great, relaxing place. And I saw Margaret Atwood on the ferry, which was, I've always wanted to see her there, because she lives there part of the year.
Right, so that's right.
That was a thrill. Yeah, beautiful space. Great getaway place to go.
So we're here to talk about your music today. Tell us a little bit about Karen Morand.
Well, I am a singer-songwriter, and I have lots of different ways of expressing my music, and I do some teaching. I work with children, and then I get out and play for big people. So it's a pretty nice deal.
And that seems like a very short way of talking about a long story, because I gather that you grew up in Toronto, in the Toronto area, before you, and then moved down to Windsor, I don't know how many years ago, but maybe you can share that information with us.
Sure thing. I was born and raised in the Toronto area, mostly Mississauga. I was going to pursue a teaching career because being an artist wasn't the safe thing to do. So I was doing my due diligence, and while working in the schools, I used my music as part of our programming with special needs children. And I just saw such potential and such a spark. I heard about the music therapy program at the University of Windsor, and I have connections here through my husband. So we packed up and we moved to Windsor, and I went through the music therapy program, learned to play guitar, learned how to play by ear, and this was kind of, I was a mature student, and that was about 20 years ago, and we just, so I practiced as a music therapist for about 10 years, and then at 40, I thought, I want to be a singer-songwriter, and I started writing, and it's been a wild ride, and it's wonderful.
Do you manage to, I always feel like we get later into the conversation, but we have the discussion about making a living. Do you find that you can make a living with different aspects of music, or do you supplement in other ways as well?
I myself don't supplement what I do. I work full-time doing those pursuits I mentioned, all the different streams of income. I think it helps, you know, having a partner who also works full-time as well. So am I making a living? It's close, and I think if I needed to, I could ramp it up, but it's a comfortable pace for me, and it's we're able to do it that way. It's being an artist in any stretch is it's a hard road to hoe, and but there's something to be said for doing what you love and making a difference in people's lives. So yeah.
Well, you have a guitar in the studio. You, as I mentioned at the start of this interview, just come back from Pelee Island. You brought your guitar along. You're going to play two or three songs for us. What are you going to play to start off?
I'm going to start with a new song that's being worked on in the studio right now. It was written a year ago when I was traveling west through Saskatchewan and the Big Muddy Badlands, and inspired this kind of low down dirty song called Big Muddy.
Well, if you leave me now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna dig a hole in the big muddy ground and lay my body down. Well, the road I chose is dusty. It shimmers in the heat. I've been rolling down this way so long, I got tire treads on my feet. The prairie's arms reach for me, a lover I've never known. The wind is a heartbroken mother, sighing child, won't you come back home? But if you leave me now, tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna dig a hole in the big muddy ground and lay my body down. Big sky makes for big clouds. There's a twister in my soul. You better run to love for cover before that funnel swallows us whole. My heart has no more feeling. It's hardened like a stone. I need the heavens to open up and soak me to the bone. But if you leave me now, tell you I'm gonna dig a hole in the big muddy ground and lay my to what's beside me. I don't need the rear view. I'm gonna look ahead to the prize instead, until my journey's through. Well, I'm gonna wait till I hear hallelujah. I'm gonna wait for my angel band. I'm gonna wait for that new day kingdom and fly just as fast as I can. But if you leave me now, tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna dig a hole in the big muddy ground and lay my body down. Yeah, if you leave me now, I tell you what I'll do. I'm gonna dig a hole in the big muddy ground and lay my body down. I'm gonna lay my body down. I'm gonna lay my body down.
That's Karen Morand with Big Muddy live in the studio on Folk Roots Radio today. And that's a new song. That was really great, Karen.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about that song. That was a song you just wrote on the road when
yeah.
you were out in Saskatchewan?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we bought this old vintage trailer and we gutted it. And we had these grand visions of, you know, fixing it up and traveling across Canada. And we did do that. But of course, when reality hits, it's not as easy as we'd like to think. So, and being in a confined space with people for an extended period of time is always a challenge, even when you love each other.
You know, I'm just amazed that you not only were able to do this, but actually felt the urge to write a song as well.
Well, I think like a lot of writers, songs come out of, challenges, conflicts, hard times. It's harder to write a happy song, I think, than a angry or a sad song.
Now, I was reading your website, and you said on your website, I think initially, you never used to think of yourself as a songwriter. You thought you were somebody that, you know, would play with music, maybe write a few things, but not a songwriter. When I hear you sing a song like that, I clearly know that you are a songwriter. Do you feel somewhat more comfortable with that term now, that you are a songwriter, you're a singer-songwriter, that's what you do?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And it really just took the doing of it. And I think it's because I came to a lot of this later in life that I thought, you know, when I looked around, when you hear other interviews with musicians, people start writing songs, you know, in their teens, even younger. And I hadn't. I'd always enjoyed writing. I love language. I love words. I was a visual artist as a teenager, and I've been a musician my whole life. I'm a piano player. But I thought songwriting was for people who started in their bedroom with a guitar and all their angst. And that wasn't me. So I thought I would just, you know, it would be a hobby of sorts. But I had this burning desire. I really, really wanted to write and craft the arc of the melody and beautiful chord combinations and put words to that and make songs that we want to listen to and that connect with people. I think that's the best art, is art that connects. That's the art that speaks to me.
Do you find it easy? I was going to say, do you find it easier to write songs now? I mean, is it something that is becoming more natural for you to sit down and start to work on a new project?
I'd like to say yes, but there's seasons. I think there's seasons where it comes more easily than others. But I don't let that be a discouragement, because I think there's just seasons in our life when, you know, we're more productive, or times when we need to rest. I find if I'm constantly keeping my hand in it, so writing, just journaling, listening to new music, doing things that inspire me, being outside, going to the art gallery, stuff like that, but always writing and letting melodies roll around in my head like a marble. I always think of that. It's just like a little marble rolling around in there. Then the songs come. They're not all They don't all get finished. They don't all work. And that's okay, too, because I think you have to just try it. So the more you do.
It's interesting you say that, because I know there's some songwriters I've interviewed who don't like to listen to new music. They don't actually like to listen to any music. Almost, I had at least one songwriter say, look, I'm not even sure I like to listen to my own, because they're too concerned that either they get too much of an influence or that it somehow dulls their own creativity. What do you say about that?
It's definitely a hazard. It is because I will find when I'm listening to a new artist, it will inspire me to write similar flavored songs. And, you know, there is nothing new, truly. We're just taking things and reinventing them. But it is a danger because I have written something and then at the end and thinking, oh, this is really awesome. And then, you know, giving it a listen or playing it for someone and they say, wait a minute, that's the Home Depot theme song or something like that. So it is definitely a hazard. And that's why it's, I guess, just an aside. I think it's good to have at least one person in your life that tells you the straight goods and can point out these things to you. A safe person that you can bounce songs off of and they can let you know if you're cheating.
You mentioned that you're a late developer. You have Carry On that came out in 2012. Yep. And then in 2014, you produced the album I Think I'll Lose My Mind Today. Mm-hmm. We just heard a new song from you. We're going to hear some more in a few moments. Are you working on a new album just now? Or is that something that you're planning perhaps for the next year or so?
I am in the studio right now with my band Bosco, and we're recording a new collection of songs. They're different, they're fresh, and it just, you know, came out of different life experiences. We've had some changes in the band as well, and that changes things up as well. So yeah, we're in the studio right now, and we hope to have it released by early 2017.
So you have the band Bosco. I love that name, and I've always wondered whether it was a connection in relation to Seinfeld. I know, I think it's a chocolate syrup in the States or something?
Apparently it is, yeah.
And there's a classic George Costanza episode in relation to Bosco. And I don't know, I'm sure everybody's seen all of the Seinfeld episodes now, but I think Bosco was his code or something for the ATM machine.
That's right. That's what it was. No, it came out of just, it was one of these happy accidents. We were looking for a band name, and my husband couldn't remember one of my bandmate's spouse's name and was referring to him as Bosco. And we said, no, that's not his name, but that's an awesome name for the band. So it stuck. So it was like a lot of great things. It was a happy accident.
So tell us about the band. Who's in the band currently?
Currently in my band is Aaron Verhulst, and he plays lead guitar, acoustic and electric. He plays mandolin. And then I have actually my brother-in-law, Benny Santoro. He's a drummer, and he plays the cajon, which is a box drum.
He's your brother-in-law?
He is.
Oh, now, you learn something new every day. Did you audition him for the band before he became your brother-in-law, or was that
No.
afterwards?
We have known each other a very long time, and so actually we played together, the three of us played together at church, and so Bosco's been through many evolutions with different people that I know and play with. But yeah, so I guess I was secretly auditioning them every
Sunday.
Oh, there
you are. The truth will out. Let's play another song live. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a new song as well, that'll be on our new album. And it's actually our working title. It's called Junkyard Heart. Well, I'm tangled, grasping, greedy. I'm nasty and I'm needy. I've stolen from the poor. I've burned all my bridges. I've broken all the dishes. I've bolted every door. But I know I'm at my best in your arms.
I know I'm at my best in your arms. You ignore the cryptic warnings from this junkyard heart and turn it into good. I know there's something good here in your arms. Well, I'm a double-faced pretender, a drunkard on a bender, far away from home. I'm a junkie and a harlot, a letter painted scarlet. I'm shameful to the bone, but I know I'm at my best in your arms. I know I'm at my best in your arms. You ignore the cryptic warnings from this junkyard heart and turn it into good. I know there's something good here in your arms. I can't shake you. This crazy love haunts every room. I try to hide it in my bed, pile the covers on my head. But you won't let me stay there. You won't let me stay there. And I know I'm at my best here in your arms. I know I'm at my best in your arms. And you ignore the cryptic warnings from this junkyard heart and turn it into good. I know there's something good here in your arms. Yeah, you turn it into good. I know there's something good here in your arms.
That's Karen Morand with Junkyard Heart, live on Folk Roots Radio today. Karen is our special guest in the studio. That's actually the second time I've heard that song. I absolutely love it. Fabulous, fabulous song. Tell us a little bit about that song. How did you write that one?
Oh, you know, I think we all have moments of revelation, realization, and I think one of the pitfalls of being a performing artist, especially, is that sometimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to. And it kind of just comes with the territory. So I think it's always healthy for me to get right-sized. And I think I just kind of realized, coming off of a very, really good performing experience, that although that was awesome, it was wonderful, and I'm honored that this performance went well, that really I'm no different than anybody. And I mean everybody, as in, you know, folks on the street struggling with addiction. Because I've made lots of mistakes in my past, and I continue to do so. Just, I'm really good at hiding them. And I think sometimes that's the difference between, you know, when we have opportunity and folks that have more opportunity, we're just better at hiding our stuff. But the folks that live on the street that we look at, that maybe we throw change in their hat or whatever, they're living life raw, and their stuff is out there for us to observe. So it's just kind of a realization that we are all the same, that we are all equally precious as well.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there's a real groundedness in your songwriting. I think that's one of the things that attracted me to your music, is the fact that you really seem like you have your feet firmly on the ground. I wonder if that's because you have quite a strong spirituality that underlies everything. When I was reading about you in preparation for the interview, we're not going to be able to play this song today, but I've heard it played before, but there's the song Soup that you have from your, I think it's on the Carry On album, right?
That's
the
right.
First album. And you talk about when you were working on that album, I think that you're also helping out in the church you go to and helping out with community groups that allow you to maintain that grounded nature to your life. Do you find that's very important in the music as well? I mean, obviously, it can keep you in a balanced as a person, but whether it actually helps when you're working on your music?
Absolutely, I think so. You know, we're spiritual people, and so that when we have, I think our spiritual life informs everything we do, and so I'd like to, yeah, I definitely think that my faith journey is, you know, intertwined with my music and informs my music. And I think also the choices that I make. I think if I were to claim to have a certain faith and not walk it out, then there's something wrong. That's kind of an empty sort of faith. And I've been guilty of that as well. So, you know, full disclosure. So I think that, you know, helping out in the community, hanging out with marginalized people and learning from them has been invaluable to me as a person and as an artist. And a lot of my songs are based on friendships that I've developed with some of these folks and conversations that we've had. They've just taken me to a new place, a deeper place, and a realization, you know, of the humanity in everyone. Once you can sit down with a person and hear their story, you can see past all the, you know, the outside stuff, and again, see that we're all the same, and so everyone has a story to tell. So that's a huge part, I think, of my spiritual walk, that I think that I'm called to, you know, to show kindness and goodness to everyone and not make exception.
Can we talk about the live experience? You mentioned that you have your band Bosco, where you play with Aaron and Benny. Mm-hmm. You're here today playing solo for us, and mm-hmm. I've seen you play solo before, and I think you're heading, I think, to the Blue Skies Festival shortly, where you'll be playing solo.
That's correct.
Obviously, it creates a completely different experience. Your music seems to me, it lends itself to being intimate and very personal. But when I see you play with a band, and I don't know if it's just because you really enjoy your people you play with, but it seems to quite comfortably expand under those circumstances. Can you talk about how those two aspects fit together for you?
I mean, I think I originally put a band of people together around me because I felt inadequate as a musician. I'm a piano player in a former life, and guitar still feels quite new to me. And so I didn't feel like I could support my songs and my voice the way that I wanted to. And so I just surrounded myself with really good players who I like a lot and found an awesome synergy. I think most people that play in a group situation, they just find it's a great experience because there's like the sum is greater than the, oh, how's it go? It's awesome to have a lot of people around you making the same music. And you know what? And again, it's a great way to keep things in check because it's definitely give and take, unless you want to be a total, you know, tyrant. And I hope I'm not a tyrant, guys. But they do say I'm the boss, and I am the boss in Bosco. But someone has to lead. And so there is a give and take. Sometimes there might be something I want, and I have to let it go and let them make a good call. And I learn because, you know, we all have our way of thinking, and sometimes it's good to let other people's thinking in on that experience. So that's been great. Playing alone, I am getting more comfortable with that. And it's really, yeah, forced me out of my comfort zone, forced me to improve my playing all the time and my singing. And I got to dig deep. When you are a singer with a guitar, it better be interesting and compelling, or because they're really a dime a dozen. We are a dime a dozen. You can even have a really good song, but it's got to deliver to really grab people's attention and, again, to make that connection, because that's why we're doing what we're doing.
That's great. Let's have a third song from you today. And whenever I have someone in the studio and I'm really enjoying not just the conversation but the music, I like to try and get in as much as we can. What are you going to play for us this time?
I'm going to play Arms of Love. Again, this is new. I just, I like, I like new things, new shiny things. And I was at a conference playing with some great people, hearing some great music. So here's an example of being inspired by other people's music. And I was inspired by Carla Adolph. She does some great, gritty, gospel-type inspired music. And that's what this is. So it's called Arms of Love.
Gather round, darken the doorway, fill that room with sounds of your crooked clanging hearts. That's a good place to start. Oh yeah, oh yeah, come just as you are, with your muddy shoes and worn out blues, showing off your scars. Life has been unkind, but you'll find kindness yet. And it's not such a long, long way back home. No, it's not such a long, long way to the arms of love. Ooh. One and all, hiding in the shadows, get up from that fall and meet me at the treehouse where we can all stand tall. And it's not such a long, long way back home. No, it's not such a long, long way. Think, free your mind, it's closer than you think, free your mind, yeah, it's closer than you think, free your mind, yeah, it's closer than you think. Mind. And it's not such a long, long way back home. No, it's not such a long, long way to the arms of love. Ooh.
That's Karen Morand with The Arms of Love on Folk Roots Radio today. She is live in the studio. Wasn't that amazing? You really let rip on that one.
I don't know what happens every time. I just enjoy it. It's nice when you can enjoy playing your own songs.
Yeah. That must have been quite fun when you wrote it. I mean, when you realized that was the song you're writing. I mean, you get a bit of a thrill out of that?
Absolutely. It's truly a mysterious thing. It's I can't explain it. It is. I know people talk about the muse, you know, and I think there is an otherworldly kind of a something spiritual going on, I think, because this stuff can't be inside me. there's a definitely an influence. And so it is fun and it's play. And I think that's what working with children has taught me, is that, you know, when we can play in life, it's truly an amazing thing. So yeah, I have fun.
You're working on the new album. You mentioned you're in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we nailed down when you expect to release that to the world. 2017?
Yeah, that's right. Early 2017.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else do you have planned for the coming months and years and perhaps long term?
Well, let me see. I am going to Austin in October. I'm going to explore maybe some playing over the border and see what that's like. I went to Austin in February at a songwriter symposium and love the feel there. My music was well received and I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to go back and do some exploring with some playing opportunities there. And I'd really like to try my hand at touring, because why not? When you're peering over the edge of 50, why not try touring? I have a trailer.
I was wondering whether you were going to be using the trailer for this, or whether you would be perhaps taking the train, or, you know, just getting in the car and doing it.
Yeah, well, the Austin trip is just going to be a quick little flight out of here. But I think for some touring, that was part of our thought when we bought this little tin can and fixed it up. The thought was that up the road we'd like to use it for touring. And I'd also like to work my family life into that as well, and have the boys come along and we'll make it an adventure. So kind of there has to be go-karts involved.
And barbecue.
That's why they like Texas. But I'm sure we can find, you know, as long as there's a lot of meat involved, then, you know, we can make it work. So that's my family, not Bosco. Those boys, that's another story. So yeah, we're hoping to do some stuff up the 401, you know, toward Toronto and north of that. And because they have families too, and so it's kind of we're in a strange situation, because we are mature, we have families, they have jobs, and we need to make it all work. But I just want to play more, play in new places, meet new folks, and I know lots of good music will come out of that.
If people want to learn more about your music and keep track of everything you're up to, how can they do that?
Well, I'm on Facebook. Of course, KarenMoranMusic.com. And then I have my own website, and it's KarenMoran.com.
Okay, that's wonderful. It's been a great pleasure to have you join us today. We're going to finish with another song from one of your albums. We're going to head to your 2014 album, I Think I'll Lose My Mind Today, which is a great title. I should ask you where that came from before we announce the song.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Does that happen often?
Not too often, thankfully, but, you know, we all kind of hit the wall sometimes, don't we?
We're going to listen to Brighter Days, which is a wonderful track, and I think rather a nice way to finish this interview today. Tell us a little bit about that song.
You know what? That came to me again. I was riding my bike, like a lot of songs come to me on my bicycle, and going downtown. And Windsor is 70% of our inner city lives under the poverty line. So we kind of have a particular situation. So I was kind of biking through all that and thinking about that, and just thinking that, folks need a lot of things. But I think it's a good place to start with some hope. So that's where Brighter Days comes from.
And that's a great way to finish the interview today. Mm-hmm. Karen Moran, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio.
Thank you.
This is Karen Moran with Brighter Days from her 2014 album, I Think I'll Lose My Mind Today. I lose it every day. I'm John Hall. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio. Thanks again.
Thank you.
the stars are